Welcome to episode 495 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today is day 100 in our series, 100 Days in the New Testament. And we end our series in book 66 of God's Word, the revelation of Jesus Christ given to John by God to show his servants what must soon take place. Revelation is lavish in colorful descriptions of the visions which proclaim for us the last days before Christ's return and the ushering in of the new heaven and new earth. Revelation begins with letters to the seven churches of Asia Minor, then goes on to reveal the series of devastations poured out upon the earth. The Mark of the Beast, 666, the climatic battle of Armageddon, the binding of Satan, the reign of the Lord, the great white throne judgment, and the nature of the eternal city of God. Prophecies concerning Christ are fulfilled, and a concluding call to his lordship assures us that he will soon return. The book gives us a tiny glimpse of heaven and all of the glories awaiting those who keep their robes white. Revelation 3 verses 20 to 21. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on the throne. The idea of Jesus at the door applies to the sinner and the saint just the same. Jesus wants to come in and dine with us in the sense of having a deep, meaningful relationship. The key to opening the door is to first hear his voice. When we give attention to what Jesus says, then we can be rescued from our own lostness or lukewarmness and enter into a zealous relationship with him. Some versions replace the one who conquers with the one who overcomes, or the one who is victorious. Those who overcome the battle against indifference, compromise, and self-reliance receive a special reward. They enjoy a place with the enthroned Jesus. To those who overcome, there will be life more abundant than we can ever imagine. Revelation 14 verses 6 to 7. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." What hour is this? This is the hour of judgment. This is a warning that the second coming is soon. And what are we called to do in light of the impending, the imminent judgment? We are to fear, glorify, and worship God. What kind of an attitude is described here? Is it being afraid of God? No, not at all. These are not Christians who recoil from God. These are Christians who take God seriously. They recognize his great power and love. They're grateful for what he has done to redeem them. They worship him because they cannot keep from praising him. And note the reasons given for worshiping God. One, it's the hour of judgment. This is the time. And two, because God is the creator of everything. He made the heavens and earth, the sea and springs of water. He has the authority to judge because this is his world and we are his creation. Revelation 14 verse 8. Another angel, a second, followed saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She who made all nations drink the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality." Another version says, "A second angel followed and said, 'Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, which made all the nations drink the maddening wine of her adulteries.'" Is this about drinking alcohol? Not at all. This is about adopting the view of Babylon, the opponent of God. You reject God and his law, and you follow God's enemy. Why is the view of Babylon like wine, and why is it a maddening view? Well, drinking too much wine clouds your thoughts. Being mad refers to having ridiculous thoughts. A sane person would say, "You're not thinking clearly. That's a crazy idea." Are there things about Babylon that are just crazy? If you move the clock back to the time of your grandparents, would they think the Babylon things of today are crazy? In March, authorities found two rocket launchers and a practice grenade in a trash can near a California school. There was a man who has been living in the Beijing Capital International Airport for 14 years. He opted to abandon his family and move into the airport because he was upset that they asked him to give up his favorite things, drinking, smoking, and eating noodles. In April, police removed 5 fetuses from the refrigerator of a pro-life activist in D.C. It's legal for a minor to drink in Illinois if that person is enrolled in a culinary program. Consider what is acceptable today in music, on social media, in Congress, in school. Had I mentioned any of these things to my grandparents, they would find them simply unbelievable. Revelation 14 verses 9 to 10. And another angel, a third, followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and its image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink the wine of God's wrath, poured full strength into the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb." What else do the worshippers of Babylon drink? The wine of God's fury. This verse talks about the mark of the beast. A mark in the forehead or on the hand represents someone who believes in an idea or goes along with it. What does it mean to worship the beast? These are people who embrace the beast and its ideas. Are both worship and the mark required? Must you embrace the ideas of the beast? Let's see if we get more illumination from verse 11. "And the smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever. There will be no rest day or night for those who worship the beast and its image, or for anyone who receives the mark of its name." While verse 9 seems to require both, verse 11 says that either qualify you for punishment. What exactly are these people drinking? Revelation says God's fury at full strength. Their end is a torment of burning sulfur. And who witnesses this torment? The holy angels and the Lamb. Let's just pause a minute. Jesus loves us so much that he was tortured and died so that we can live eternally. Would someone who loves that much watch the torture death of the wicked? Well, I trust God. I trust that these people are so wicked and their deeds so evil that this is just. What I'd like to do is to avoid being the victim of these evil people. Verse 12. "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." Compare this with Revelation 12, verse 17. "Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's commands and hold fast their testimony about Jesus." Are these the same people, or at least the same kind of people? If so, what characterizes them? These are both descriptions of the saints. These are people who are serious about obedience to God, and they accept Jesus as their source of salvation. Why are they patient, and what are they enduring? They're waiting for vindication. They're enduring the wicked who deserve a tormented end. And note that they keep the commands of God and hold fast their testimony about Jesus. The only way that is possible, the only way that they can really truly embrace and keep and be faithful to those 10 guidelines for abundant living is to have the Holy Spirit animating their faith. Father, thank you for the messages of the three angels. Help us to be serious about worshiping you and keeping your commandments. Empower us by your Spirit to be able to do that, and guard us against the deceptions of Babylon. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.